KPR.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Humid with a low in the lower 70s. Seeing some severe weather out in McPherson and Saline counties, so stay weather aware tonight.
This is All Things Considered.
Thank you for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, and lots of other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Coming up, news headlines in just about 11 minutes. In this next half-hour conversation with former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, we will visit Bed-Stuy, Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, visit a nifty little goldfish pond. We'll talk about Agrivoltaics and its New Music Friday. New music out from Jamie XX, Black Star Kids, and Bob Dylan. All of this yet to come here on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, locally owned for over 50 years, featuring new and used appliances from Maytag, Whirlpool, and more. We've got your back at StonebackAppliance.com.
Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One stations, another installment of the BBC Proms. Tonight, French music, Parisian classics, performed by the Orchestra of Paris, Debussy, Stravinsky, Berlioz, and more. 7 o'clock tonight on your KPR One stations. If you're joining us on KPR Two, coming up at 7 o'clock, we have Snap Judgment, followed by news from the BBC World Service. It's 95 degrees in Lawrence, 94 in Topeka, 96 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
Your home run puns. Despite the long tenure, he still enjoys the spontaneity of the job.
I kid to everyone that I live life by the seat of my pants. Well, I broadcast by the seat of my pants.
We talked to Sterling about his final stretch in the broadcast booth on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Got an old car taking up space in your garage? KPR's vehicle donation program accepts all cars, and donating is easy. We rely on your donations to help fund the programming you count on every day. Donate your car online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Up next, we have news headlines. It is 95 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 6:30. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. 7 members of a Southeast Kansas school board have been personally fined for repeatedly violating the Kansas Open Meetings Act. Attorney General Chris Kobach says members of the Chautauqua County School District Board inappropriately used executive sessions, made improper motions, and failed, quote, to comply with nearly every statutory requirement for such motions. As a result, each board member must pay a $100 fine and attend further training on the Open Meetings Act. The Attorney General says there's no evidence that the board intentionally violated the law. A Lawrence man has been indicted for bank robbery. A federal grand jury in Kansas City, Kansas, indicted 41-year-old Alfonso Cole. Prosecutors accused Cole of using force, violence, and intimidation on July 2nd to take money from an employee at the Bank of America branch on Ohio Street in Lawrence. The FBI is investigating the case. Adults and kids can help Monarch Watch tag butterflies tomorrow in Lawrence at the Baker Wetlands Discovery Center. Tagging the insects that are passing through Kansas right now helps scientists study their famed migration to Mexico. The event will take place from 8 a.m. to noon. First-timers are welcome. You can come early to see the monarchs roosting, sometimes in big eye-catching clusters. By about 8:30 a.m., they start flying around in search of nectar. You can visit monarchwatch.org for more information. The Kansas City Chiefs take their unbeaten record on the road for the first time this season on Sunday evening in Atlanta. Luke Martin provided this preview.
With running back Isaiah Pacheco out with a broken leg, the question for this weekend's matchup against the 1-1 Falcons is, will former Chief Kareem Hunt play? Hunt spent the last five seasons as Cleveland's running back, but returned to Kansas City this week to help fill in for Pacheco.
I think he looks good.
Offensive coordinator Matt Nagy still won't say for sure who to expect in the backfield with Patrick Mahomes.
There's going to be a little bit of time that goes with it, but for the most part, he's been impressive. And I think for us, that's a good thing.
Hunt's first chance at an NFL snap this season starts Sunday at 7:20 p.m. I'm Luke Martin.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, partly cloudy skies through the evening, then mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and storms. Humid tonight with a low in the lower 70s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and storms. Humid with a high in the upper 80s. There's a 90% chance of showers and storms tomorrow night, still humid. Lows in the lower 60s and a 90% chance of showers and storms again on Sunday. We are expecting highs in the lower 70s, but temperatures will fall through the afternoon into the lower 60s. At this hour, seeing some severe weather in Saline and McPherson counties. Keep one eye on the weather tonight. It's 6:35.
This is All Things
in Public Life. And you know that Morning Edition from NPR News is a news show that covers all aspects of public life, from politics to business to culture and entertainment. Knowledge that might be even more useful in, oh, say, an election year. Engage with Morning Edition every weekday.
Join us Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. On Monday, your local host will be Jay Schaefer.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, providing access to news, information, and the arts for people who are blind or visually impaired across Kansas, Missouri, and nationwide. Learn how you can make an impact at reader.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and lots of other frequencies all around the state. You can always stream us at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can also become a member of KPR, or use our app. We have audio on demand through the app. We have one for iOS and one for Android.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival, September 28th at Washburn University in Topeka, featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, exhibitor tents, and kids activities. Open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
Next time on Live at Green Lady Lounge, we're celebrating the new album by the Rod Fleeman Trio. Saturday afternoons at the Green Lady Lounge. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Please join us for an hour of Kansas City Jazz, live at Green Lady Lounge, Saturday at 6 p.m. on KPR.
This is All Things Considered.
Risk of loss. From Amazon Business, committed to being a digital purchasing solution for businesses so that growing the business is the main focus and not admin and paperwork. Learn about smart business buying at amazonbusiness.com. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
NPR and this station are supported by the communities we serve. In return, our journalism is available to everyone free of charge. This is NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas, committed to a healthier future for all Kansans with health care coverage for businesses and their employees. Learn more at bcbsks.com/business.
Stay tuned. We're going promming. Proms coming right up tonight. The Orchestra of Paris. We'll hear mostly Parisian classics tonight, but some surprises are in store. Debussy, Stravinsky, Berlioz, and more. The BBC Proms coming right up shortly here on KPR. Stay tuned.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Community Village Lawrence, a local volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting affordable in-home aging for adults, helping neighbors live independently as long as possible. Details at communityvillagelawrence.org.
We are seeing some severe thunderstorms out around Salina, McPherson. It'll all be moving to the east. Our primary concern this evening, people in Manhattan and Emporia, keep one eye on the weather. You could get some severe weather tonight. Everyone else could just get run-of-the-mill rain. The time is 7:01. The Palms are next.
This is Symphony Cast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal. We're back again this week at the biggest classical music festival in the world, the BBC Proms. From July through September, music fans enjoy 8 weeks of extraordinary music making with concerts of orchestra, choral, and chamber music. And we are thrilled to be your source on this side of the pond for these terrific concerts. If you're a music lover who is new to classical music, the Proms is the perfect place to start exploring. In fact, the first conductor of the Proms, Sir Henry Wood, had just that in mind. He wanted this festival to be accessible to the masses, and to this day, it still holds true to that mission. You can hear it in every Proms performance, from the casual atmosphere to the infectious enthusiasm of both the audience and the radio hosts of the BBC. The Proms is a party, celebrating classical music and the joy it can bring to all of us. Promming, as they call it, is a popular tradition in the UK that is central to the unique and informal atmosphere of this beloved festival. The term refers to the two areas in the Royal Albert Hall where you can stand to watch world-class performances. If you want to get up close to the performers, you want to prom in the arena. For a bird's-eye view of the stage, the gallery is where you can spread out and relax. And going to a concert is pretty easy. Just turn up, get in line, or queue, and then take your place in the magnificent Royal Albert Hall to enjoy a fantastic concert, like the one you're just about to hear with the Paris Orchestra this week, which will begin and end with music from France, in fact, opening gently with Debussy's seductive but revolutionary Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun, and concluding with Hector Berlioz's phantasmagorical masterpiece, the Symphonie Fantastique. And in between, a Russian work, but one that made its famous premiere in Paris in 1911, Igor Stravinsky's ballet, Petrushka. We have a concert filled to the brim with music from the Royal Albert Hall this time, so let's get to it. Welcome to APM's Symphony Cast. As we are about to take our seats at the Royal Albert Hall, our presenter from the BBC, Petrarch Trelawney, reminds us of the recent Paris Olympics and how the rings of the Olympic logo still grace the Eiffel Tower in our guest orchestra's hometown. Here now is Petrarch in the BBC booth.
Bonsoir, good evening. Those five famous rings may be remaining for some time on the Eiffel Tower. The eyes of sports fans are still on the French capital as the medals are handed out in the Paralympics. And there are those who say that the nation delivered to the world the best Olympic Games ever. Even if you challenge that statement with a gentle reminder of London 2012, there is no doubt that this has been Paris's summer. And tonight, the city's largest orchestra appears at the Proms under the direction of its Finnish chief conductor, Klaus Mäkelä.
I love this orchestra, and I love the hall where we play in Paris. It's an orchestra which really sounds like the sound of Paris. It's a wonderful orchestra which has so much character, so much of this very, very special sound which comes from the specific tone of the strings and the freedom of the sound of the woodwinds and the brass, percussion, everything quintessentially French and especially suited for this repertoire. The official history only begins in the 60s with Charles Münch as the first chief conductor. But I feel that they own such a big part of the repertoire, especially all the Ballet Russe music, but of course Symphonie Fantastique.
Well, Symphonie Fantastique at the end of tonight's programme, before it's Stravinsky's Petrushka. And we start with a fawn dreaming in the summer heat, happily remembering a recent erotic encounter. The creature, the mythical half-man, half-beast of classical mythology, was described in Stéphane Mallarmé's poem The Afternoon of a Fawn. In the early 1890s, Debussy wrote his orchestral work, which he described as a free illustration of the poem. The 10-minute work, often considered a turning point in the history of the canon. As Pierre Boulez observed, the flute of the fawn brought new breath to the art of music. The orchestra tuning, under concertmaster Andrea Obizo. Everything in this work unfolds from the opening solo for unaccompanied flute. An actually unprecedented and beguiling beginning for a work that led us into a new musical age. Klaus Makela walks to the centre of the stage here at the Royal Albert Hall as we open tonight's prom by the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie with Debussy's Prelude à l'après-midi d'un feu.
Thank you.
Cheer for Vincent Prat, the principal flautist of the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie, conducted by Klaus Makela in Debussy's Prelude à l'après-midi d'Infâme, a work that exudes the heat of the summer sun, actually premiered in the heart of winter in Paris on the 22nd of December 1894, conducted by Gustave Doré. Well, in 1910, Stravinsky was in Lausanne when Diaghilev paid him a visit. He was working on two pieces that evoked a puppet that had suddenly come to life. The impresario immediately insisted on having the freshly written works as part of the new ballet he wanted from the composer. Tonight, the piano part in Petrushka is played by Jean-Baptiste Dulce, his instrument right in front of the conductor's podium, in the heart of the orchestra, between the second violins and the cellos.
I always grew up as a musician, with Stravinsky being one of the most modern creative personalities in the history of music. And playing Petrushka from inside, it's like hearing all the layers and every idea that pops out create contrasts all the time. It's like a crazy brain working on all the time, and it's so moving.
It's a ballet, not a piano concerto, but the piano is absolutely central to it. And of course, there, right from the beginning, he was writing for piano with this music before he even knew it was going to go into a ballet.
Yeah, and I think this revised version from 1947 is exactly the middle ground with what we could imagine of a little piano concerto, and really taking part of the orchestra as a texture also. There are a lot of places where the piano is really a carpet under, and it's really enjoyable also to have this middle ground between being part of, but also being a bit soloist. The piano is also placed here in front of Klaus Makela, so a special relation towards the conductor and the energy. So yeah, it's a really great experience.
Jean-Baptiste Dulce, who's sat now at the piano. The lid is off, as I say, right in the middle of the orchestra. It was the designer, Alexandre Benoit, who came up with most of the scenario. Petrushka's unrequited love for the puppet ballerina and his eventual murder by the Moor, while all around the St. Petersburg Shrovetide Fair runs its course. Though, as Stravinsky biographer Stephen Walsh writes, everything about the music was Stravinsky's. It was his idea to portray the old St. Petersburg with its heady mixture of rustic and urban smells, its mud and wet leather, its cabbage soup and concertinas, through a gaudy paste-up of folk tunes and popular songs, spectacularly orchestrated. Klaus Makela conducts Stravinsky's Petrushka.
Thank you.
Stravinsky's ballet Petrushka, performed here at the Proms by the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie, conducted by Klaus Makela.
A Parisian premiered ballet from one of Russia's greatest 20th century composers, serving as the centerpiece of an otherwise all-French program from the Paris Orchestra here at the Royal Albert Hall from the 2024 BBC Proms Festival. I'm Steve Seal. You are listening to this concert from the 130th season of the BBC Proms on SymphonyCast. And we are proud to be your American source for these full concerts from the Proms once again this summer here on the program. We're at the midpoint of our concert now, and we'll take you back to the BBC booth for more in just a moment as our concert continues. But a quick reminder that you can hear this concert again from our website, but do it soon because you'll only have access to the Proms concerts for a few weeks. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. That's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Next, it's a tale of love, madness, opium, murder, and supernatural punishment, presented in sweeping dramatic strokes from composer Hector Berlioz as we enjoy his Symphonie Fantastique. That's just around the corner on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And always online at kansaspublicradio.org. You're listening to the BBC Proms here on a Friday evening. More from the Proms in just a moment. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Community Village Lawrence, a local volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting affordable in-home aging for adults, helping neighbors as long as possible. Details at communityvillagelawrence.org. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome back to APM's SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal. This week we're in London once again for a concert from the 2024 BBC Proms, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world, as we continue our summer-long residency in the UK for full-length highlights from the 130th season of this beloved festival. If you're just joining us, conductor Klaus Makela is leading the Paris Orchestra here at the Royal Albert Hall this week with a program that began with French music and will conclude with it as well. The concert capper will be Hector Berlioz's electrifying Symphonie Fantastique, by turns romantic and macabre. It is fantastic in multiple ways, and for ages it has been a favorite with audiences for its incredible drama and thrills. Now let's return to the Royal Albert Hall and once again join Petrarch Trelawney in the BBC booth.
Well, Berlioz's is Symphonie Fantastique, the last offering from the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie in their program this evening. To give the work its composer's full title, Episode in the Life of an Artist, Fantastic Symphony in Five Parts. Berlioz was in his 20s when he wrote the 50-minute long work in 1829 and 1830, madly in love with the Irish actress Harriet Smithson, who he'd just seen playing Ophelia in Hamlet. For conductor Klaus Makela, the sense of modernity about this work is very significant.
The most striking thing to me about the piece is that it's written 1830. If you think about it, 3 years after Beethoven died and 2 years after Schubert died. And it's incredible that someone can, first of all, imagine these kind of sounds. Simply every time we perform it, it feels breathtaking because it has everything. It's a little bit like a sort of a pre-Mahler symphony. It really contains the whole world.
And a great story as well. I mean, it does have this narrative.
Yes, it's very, very much so. Berlioz was the real romantic artist who really composed from his own life. If he was still alive, you can really feel that we know him because all these wonderful quirks and passions, despair and tormented soul. But what a wonderful character.
Is it a piece that the orchestra feels a sense of ownership over?
For sure. They've played it so much. But the interesting thing is that, like with all masterpieces, none of them play itself, but you have to really work on it. And this is a very specific piece because the way how it's written, it's very, very original. I think this must be our 20th performance together with the orchestra. But it's every time it's different. And you really have to make the effort every single time.
The first movement titled Daydreams, Passions, the author imagining that a young musician afflicted by the sickness of spirit sees for the first time a woman who unites all the charms of the ideal person his imagination was dreaming of. We go to a ball in the second movement, then the scene in the countryside, the march to the scaffold, and finally the dream of a witch's Sabbath. Klaus Makela makes his way back out onto the Royal Albert Hall stage, brings to its feet the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie as they perform at the Proms the Symphonie Fantastique by Berlioz.
Klaus Mäkelä conducting the Orchestre Paris Philharmonie in the Symphonie Fantastique by Hector Berlioz. The dream of a witch's Sabbath, the last movement, before it the march to the scaffold, the scene in the countryside, the ball, and we started with the artist's daydreams and passions. As Saint-Saëns observed in 1921, if the programme with its exaggerated romanticism has passed out of fashion, the musical work itself is still as youthful and astounding as it was on its first day. Berlioz obsessed with Beethoven, who he described as a titan and a giant. Those words he used in 1828, just before he composed the Symphonie Fantastique, declaring that Beethoven's symphonies were no longer music, but new art. Well, Berlioz himself went on to radically reinvent the symphony in that work, just as Beethoven had done before him.
The crowd at the Royal Albert Hall really letting you hear just how boisterous and appreciative these Proms audiences can be. This one especially exuberant after that performance by the Paris Orchestra, and it's so great to hear. Thank you, Petrarch Trelawney. I'm Steve Seal. That's where we will take it back from our colleagues at the BBC here on for this concert from the 2024 BBC Proms Festival. But again, fear not. Next week, we will return again for more from the 130th season of this wonderful celebrated summertime festival in the UK. This week's program featured the music of Debussy, Stravinsky, and Berlioz. But if you'd like to hear it again, you can. But keep in mind, Proms concerts are available on our website for only a few short weeks. To listen, head to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. While on our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. APM's SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Nass, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
Support for the BBC Proms on KPR comes from Theatre Lawrence, throwing the switch and bringing musical comedy to life with Young Frankenstein, based on the classic Mel Brooks film, now through Sunday, September 29th. Tickets at theaterlawrence.com. Thanks for joining us for tonight's broadcast of the BBC Proms. If you'd like to hear that concert again, you can do so at a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Stay tuned for news from NPR, followed by jazz with Bob McWilliams. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris campaigned in one of her childhood hometowns tonight, Madison, Wisconsin. She's counting on the heavily Democratic area to help her win the battleground state in November. Chuck Hornbach of member station WUWM has more.
President Joe Biden carried Wisconsin 4 years ago by just 20,000 votes over Republican Donald Trump. Harris urged the Madison crowd to reject Trump's plans, such as making big changes to the Affordable Care Act. Harris linked one of her major campaign themes to Wisconsin.
We will move forward, and just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward is where we go.
Harris also noted that absentee ballots have started to be sent to many Wisconsin voters. The Republican National Committee says 4 years of, quote, wasteful spending by the Biden-Harris administration has driven up costs in the state. For NPR News, I'm Chuck Quernbach in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Trump is getting pushback from some Jewish groups over his statements about Jews and Israel in a speech to the Israeli-American Council in D.C. yesterday. He repeated a long-standing line of attack on Jewish voters, claiming, without providing evidence, that Israel won't exist in 2 years unless he's president. He added anyone supporting Harris is a, quote, fool. The Anti-Defamation League says Trump's remarks will further alienate Jews facing anti-Semitism from across the political spectrum. Israel says it killed a senior Hezbollah leader in an airstrike in Beirut. He was among at least 14 people killed. Dozens were injured. This a day after Israel detonated electronic devices, killing at least 37, mostly Hezbollah members. Hezbollah has vowed retaliation. Insurance companies use middlemen to determine which medicines to cover and how much patients pay for them at the pharmacy counter. They're called pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMS, and now the federal government is suing them for driving insulin prices higher. And NPR's Sydney Lupkin reports.
The Federal Trade Commission is suing the three largest PBMs, CVS Caremark, Express Scripts, and OptumRx. It alleges the companies are engaging in anti-competitive practices that artificially raised prices for drugs like insulin. Instead of choosing to cover drugs with lower list prices, the PBMs favor higher prices because they can then take a larger fee, according to the FTC. This boosts PBM profits, but can be harmful to certain patients who in turn pay higher prices at the pharmacy counter. For its part, the PBMs, through their trade group, say the FTC investigation was biased and ignores the progress they have made toward lowering insulin costs. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. A trial over a South Dakota ballot measure on abortion rights won't start until after the November election. From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, Lee Strubinger has more.
The case fell through scheduling cracks as it was reassigned from judge to judge. Caroline Woods is with the anti-abortion group bringing the lawsuit.
After an immense amount of preparation, Life Defense Fund, we are all here deeply disappointed that we are not allowed to provide our evidence to the court.
The group argues petition circulators violated a 2018 state law, despite it being listed as repealed. 2019 changes to the law were tossed out in federal court. A new hearing date is set for December 2nd. Nancy Cherback is with the coalition to pass the ballot measure. She says it's good the trial will happen after the election.
So that the noise of this unnecessary litigation isn't distracting voters.
South Dakota voters rejected near-total abortion bans in 2006 and 2008. For NPR News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
World coffee prices are perking up. It's a result of unusually hot, dry weather in both Brazil and Vietnam. Now, those are the world's top two coffee-producing countries, and both are suffering from droughts. Brazil is dealing with its worst drought in more than 70 years. And as a result, potential supply shortages in both countries have driven up global coffee prices. Now, prices haven't reached the record highs the world saw in the late 1970s after a severe frost wiped out 70% of Brazil's coffee plants, but they are rising. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the George Gund Foundation, working to make Cleveland more vibrant, sustainable, and just, and setting an example for the nation. More information available at gundfoundation.org. This is NPR.
the Danny Jonacucci Big Band kicking off Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio with a piece written by the leader, composed and arranged. He called it South Philly, featuring trumpeter Scott Wenhold, alto saxophonist Andrew Gould. The album is called A Decade, Danny Jonacucci Big Band. I'm Bob McWilliams here with you on Jazz in the Night. We've got a pianist from Vancouver, British Columbia, John Lee, up next in about 15 minutes. We'll hear from Karen Allison. She's singing at the Folly Theater tomorrow night. First, John Lee playing a tune that Stan Getz brought back from Sweden and took credit for, but it was really a traditional Swedish number. It's called Dear Old Stockholm. Pianist John Lee will follow that up with the band Something Else on KPR.